personal success does not guarantee team success. What leadership comes down to, it's about understanding, hey, look, as a leader, I know I couldn't do it without you, and you couldn't do it without me.
Yeah, I could see you, yeah, I could see. Yeah, flying overseas, yeah, I can sleep. Think I might take the pills just so I can sleep. Yeah, fall into my dreams, can't wait, I'ma keep coming back. Flying overseas, yeah, I can sleep. Think I might take the pills just so I can sleep. Yeah, fall into my dreams, can't wait, I'ma keep coming back. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I can see you, yeah, I can see. Yeah, flying overseas, yeah, I can sleep. Think I might take the pills just so I can sleep. Yeah, fall into my dreams, can't wait, I'ma keep coming back. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Airplane Mode featuring Pat Connington from Ike Music, and Pat Connington is going to be in a Bucks uniform for several more years. Bucks fans, thank you so much for joining us. We have a great show for you today. We have a lot to talk about. The Bucks just inked their X Factor onto an extension. We have Summer League, and we have a little bit of the NBA off-season landscape drama going on. So I'm joined today by my co-host, Alex. Alex, how you doing?
KJ, doing great. Happy that Pat is back on a three-year, $30 million deal. You know, he's here for Milwaukee. I've seen it. You know, he's been boys with Giannis. He's always been willing to put on his teammates, wear a Drew Holiday shirt to the game, you know, post about Bobby Portis. He's a team player. He's good for winning games. We were watching highlights of him in Notre Dame. He's just one of those players and athletes that you just want on the field or on the court for your team at all times. Pat, I see he's going to have an increased role because in that series against Boston, he played his best basketball, averaging double digits, 10 points off the bench that series. So I could not be more ecstatic to have Pat back. Airplane Mode from Ike Music, you heard it. Go check that out on Spotify. Add that to your playlist. That's featuring Pat Connington. KJ, we've got a show. I'm hyped. How you feeling about the Pat? What was your initial reaction when you saw the news?
You know, Bucks fans, I had a feeling it was coming. You know, like, you just kind of had a feeling. You're like, okay, Pac had a great couple of years. He had a great back-to-back playoff performances in terms of last year and this year. It's like he's in line for a pay raise. You know, back a couple of years ago when he signed his deal, the Bucks actually had the Bogdan deal fall through. So then they kind of scrambled and added more years to Pat's deal for more money. And a lot of Bucks fans at the time weren't too thrilled about that, which has turned out to be, probably now with the extension, the best contract in the NBA for someone who's maybe not quite a certified superstar, right? So it's like Pat Connington came to the Bucks. He had a great four-year career at Notre Dame. He got drafted by the Trailblazers, had a couple, you know, got his feet wet over there. Always had athleticism, but he got to Milwaukee and he really started working with Kyle Korver. And you've seen this incredible transformation where he's added just skill and skill and skill, technique, shooting ability, basketball IQ, and he is now blossomed into the Bucks version of Manu Ginobili. And that's kind of the comparison I've landed on for Pat Connington. You know, different body types, obviously, different varying levels of athleticism, maybe slightly different roles, but like, in terms of just like a supporting cast member who's not a max player, who will win you and be an integral part of probably multiple championships, Pat Connaughton is right there. He checks all these boxes. He's an incredible problem solver, an analytical eye for the game. I mean, Bucks fans, a lot of you may know that he's actually involved with a lot of real estate in Milwaukee, throughout Wisconsin, and throughout the country. And one of the key elements of real estate and development and all that stuff is problem solving. Like, you have to be a hard worker, you have to be willing to negotiate, you have to be willing to problem solve. And those are all things Pat has demonstrated, you know, in his time with the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, the deal that he is on right now, Bucks fans, is incredible. You know, you see guys like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope getting 2 years and $30 million by the Denver Nuggets. And Bucks fans, you know, we've poked a little fun at the Denver Nuggets. They're giving Jokic like $300 million. It's like, you want to know why the Denver Nuggets aren't going to be winning a championship anytime soon? Deals like the Nikola Jokic contract, who a lot of people might push back on me for that, but I'm just kind of, that's my stance, is I don't think you can win a championship with him as the centerpiece. And then you also have a deal like 2 years, $30 million for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I know they signed Michael Porter Jr., I believe, to a max extension, rookie extension. I mean, like, just questionable moves. All the Bucks are over here making extremely, extremely cap-friendly moves. Bobby Portis back, Pat Connaughton back. You get a little infusion of young talent with Marjan, and who we're going to talk about more in a second. But I'm over the moon. His total deal, Bucks fans, is 3 years. I believe it's 34. Or 4 years, $34 million, because the extension was 3 years, 28 and a half. So it's like, I mean, the fact that Pat is making probably about 8.5 average annual value over the next 4 years, wow, Bucks fans, I'm ecstatic with that. I'm over the moon about that. I think John Horst deserves a lot of credit. I think Pat deserves even more credit for the willingness to obviously take such a big discount. He'd get $13 million on the open market, but maybe Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, you line him up with Pat Connaughton, I think Pat might even get more money. You know, like, he's a more desirable player in every way. A couple years ago, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had an ankle bracelet on. It's like, you just don't have to worry about that with Pat Connaughton. You know, you don't have to worry about him getting in any trouble. He's just a great player that is often found on championship teams. I know I just went on for a bit there, but I'm going to toss back to you for a sec.
So Pat, you know, he spent his first 3 years in Portland, like you said, KJ, kind of getting his feet wet. And then he came to Milwaukee when he turned 26 years old. And that's just kind of, to me, like a key age in the NBA. That's when you can really start to play, unless you're like a Giannis, right? Or like a player that's exceptionally talented who can play at a younger age. But for a guy like Pat, he comes to Milwaukee at the beginning of his prime. He's currently 29 years old, KJ. He had his best series also arguably in the finals when the Bucks won against the Phoenix Suns, averaging 30 minutes a game, 9 points, 6 rebounds. He's proven he can help you get the job done, clinch it, and we're going to have him now from ages 29 to 33, probably, you know, another version of his prime, if not the best Pat Connaughton we'll have ever seen. So that is super exciting. Another reason is Pat flies under the radar. Like, everyone knows about Pat if you follow the Bucks, because you know about the things he does. You know about the three balls that are just deadly. You know, Cage, you were talking about this play where Pat Connaughton, just showing his athleticism, Giannis or someone throws the ball out to him. It gets tipped. It goes way up in the stands, and Pat just somehow deflects it. Because he's so athletic, he jumps
soars
up,
to deflect the ball back in.
Soars in the air to deflect the ball back in to a box who then finds Giannis again, who then puts in a key bucket. It's like he's doing those type of things that don't show up on the box score. I couldn't be happier to have him with his team long term. Let's turn to some of the guys that maybe, Cage, you know, will be rounding out the back end of the Bucks bench. The Summer League roster, that's kicked off. Bucks have Marjan, you know, Beauchamp, he's kind of the rookie. But Sandru Mamu has kind of stolen the show, averaging 21 points, 9.7 rebounds. Between those two, KJ, who do you think is going to get more minutes this upcoming Bucks year?
Man, I don't really know. You know, I can't really envision either of them getting a ton of minutes. I think it's super impressive to see what Sandro's been doing. You know, he's kind of been one of those skilled bigs. He flashed that at Seton Hall. You kind of see him show off the dribbling ability. You see him show off some of his touch. And he's doing that in summer league right now. He's kind of showing, like, hey, I've been in college for a little while. I have more skills and maybe, like, a one-and-done type player. Hey, I was in the NBA for a year last year going up against guys like Brook Lopez, Bobby Portis, Giannis in practice. And I'm going to go out here against a lot of, you know, younger players, maybe not as skilled players, and I'm going to go and show them what I can do. I'm impressed. You know, I think it's better for a player to have a good summer league than not have a good summer league. You know, for example, Wisconsin's Johnny Davis not having the best summer league. And I'm encouraged by Marjan's performance as well. In addition,
50% from three, Marjan.
Exactly. Like, that's super encouraging. And just the fact that he's kind of going out there and averaging double-digit points, right? It's like, we all know what it's like when you have that one guy on the team, maybe like George Hill, who is literally zero threat to score the rock at all. It completely implodes your offense. It destroys your chances of winning anything meaningful. And the fact that Marjan's going out there and actually averaging, you know, 15 points, a healthy clip, and Sandro's doing the same thing, make me say, I'd rather give them their minutes than George Hill, you know? But it's like, the fact that they're even putting the ball in the hoop and just getting
their
feet wet and not completely, like, being like, uh-oh, these guys fooled us off a mixtape. Like, that to me is, like, I don't take really anything from Summer League, but I do think it's okay to take away some confidence, you know? So it's like, Mamu's looking confident. Marjan's looking confident. He's proven to be a hard worker since he's got here. I'm pretty excited, and I'm really excited about his ability to hit the three because he was one of these athletic guys. You know, he did have some really favorable measurables. The Bucks need more help with the guards. But, like, his three-point shot was a little iffy, so the fact that he's knocking those down, I'm very happy to see that. Yeah, Alex, what about you?
Summer League, speaking of Pat Connaughton, he actually showed up to watch and support the boys at Summer League, Cage. That's the type of guy he is. It's like, there's players out there who, you know, do that, and then there's guys who do their own thing. But this Bucks, you know, I guess, like, top-heavy Summer League roster, it's not about making the actual Bucks roster. Maybe a lot of players are just trying to flash, you know, gain some attention, get on another team's roster. But Sandrew and Marjan, to me, represent players that actually may have, you know, future, you know, positioning chips, you know, like, you can trade Marjan based on, you know, he's not going to get a ton of minutes, but he looked pretty good in summer league, you know, so that's like a good chip. He's not going to get the regular season time. And then Sandro might be like, okay, he flashed a lot in summer league. He's looking like he's actually might be a bit of a good steal, you know, in a draft. Hasn't got a ton of minutes either, but played with Giannis, the Giannis factor. You were talking about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope getting his big, you know, pay raise. That's a little LeBronflation, you know, because when
you're
you
right.
play with LeBron, you get a little bigger deal. Giannis is going to see that coming. He's already gotten, you know, his boy's paid. Everyone's been paid that's been playing with Giannis. And now it's like about Pat, maybe adding another piece, Cage.
Yeah, I mean, like, Pat was in Greece with Giannis before he even picked up his option. So, like, if that tells you anything, he's not going anywhere. You know, he is super close with Giannis. So it's like when they announced the extension, it's almost like you just had a feeling. But going back to the conversation, you know, another piece, what do the Bucks need? We need a backup ball handler. We need a backup point guard. I know some Bucks fans have tossed around the Eric Bledsoe idea. I have a feeling that that would give Bucks fans even more agony than they wish to take on. Although it's slim pickings out there, and I would rather have Bledsoe, you know, basically playing over George Hill. Like it's like desperation to get anybody ahead of George Hill in the depth chart, honestly, for me. And I really like this roster, but it's like you have an obvious weakness. I know I would have loved to see Patty Mills. He's back in Brooklyn, but, like, you got to find someone, and I'm not talking Michael Carter-Williams. You know, I'm talking about, like, someone beyond George Hill, right? Like, someone who can suit up before George Hill. It's the biggest glaring need. The Bucks brought back the bench. They have a little bit of young talent. You know, like, it's really, like, that is the spot for me is backup point guard, and you still want to see them make a move there. Pretty slim pickings. Will they bring back Eric Bledsoe? I'd say there's probably a 5% chance of that happening. We'll see. Maybe they do. I know Bucks fans love that nostalgia. For example, when the Bucks brought back Brandon Jennings, you know, a few years back, that was a fun little, you know, stretch. But Brandon Jennings didn't really you know, help the Bucks win the championship, other than his unbelievable support, which we're super grateful for.
Crazy is that Jeff Teague was formidable, Cage.
Oh man, Jeff Teague is making George Hill look like a, you know, like a, I don't know, you know, he's out of his league.
He made DJ Augustine look bad.
Yeah, it's
there's always something with Jeff Teague and Milwaukee. The ties like, together between those two. But we need a guy a little better than Jeff Teague for sure, because the Bucks just don't have the depth there. A couple names I'm looking out there: Dennis Schroeder, he's available. Colin Sexton might
have some.
He's restricted.
Yeah,
so,
he's probably too pricey.
Mm-hmm. Lou Will.
That would be interesting. He's not really the greatest ball handler. He can certainly fill it up. That's interesting too.
Rajon Rondo.
I mean, I don't know if you want that. You know, I don't.
Elfrid Payton.
You know, he can't really shoot either, so it's tough. But like, going back to your point about Jeff Teague, I remember he made an incredibly clutch three, like one game.
He did.
Had like 3 points, and it was like the biggest three of like that particular stretch of the game. And he put up 3 points, and he didn't do much else. But the Bucks end up winning a championship. It's like George Hill. He ain't doing any of that. You know, we don't remember that big clutch three he had. We just remember all those, you know, times he was beaten by Jason Tatum, all those times he scored 0 points. Alex just read off a bunch of options, but it's like, as you can hear, those aren't great options. So
Marcus Howard.
I mean, someone.
Had a little time on Denver.
It's just really hard, you know?
Yeah, you need someone better.
You need someone who, like, because we're trying to win a championship. It's just like, I'm confident George Hill's not a part of a winning championship-winning team, honestly.
Well, what's so interesting
my take
is that we're transitioning here a little to maybe more general NBA talk, Bucks fans. But Kevin Durant, right? He is being shopped around. And I saw something today, Cage, about a potential Kevin Durant to the Phoenix Suns, where the Suns, you know, deploy all their draft capital over the next 5 years. I think Bridges, you know, maybe Ayton as well. But the Suns are almost ready to blow it up. That's what I'm kind of getting this feeling of. From a team that played the Bucks in the finals 2 years ago, do you feel like the Suns, their window is closed?
You know, man, I think it's going to be hard for them to get back to the finals. I really think that a team like the Grizzlies even just are way more hungrier. Like Devin Booker, he's like a super talented scorer, but like, If you talk about the hunger in both these guys, like I think John Morant's got endless amounts of additional hunger than a guy like Devin Booker. I mean, you know, DeAndre Ayton, he's kind of working out like a max contract offer with the Indiana Pacers. Like if the Phoenix Suns match that, it is very, very, very tough for them. But I really think they gotta overcome the Warriors and the Grizzlies. You know, don't sleep on the Clippers as well. It's like, can they do that? I don't know if they should blow it up. I think they should keep running it back because, like, the Warriors, I don't know. You know, like, maybe they can repeat, maybe they won't, but
they've been recruiting Durant, like, apparently.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. I mean, if they can get Durant, you got to do whatever you can to make that happen. Then they're like, you know, if you got CP3, you know, Durant and also Devin Booker, like, that's a team that could easily come out the West. In my opinion, just because you have three shooters in that group, you have a couple ball handlers, you have just guys who are ready to win, essentially. Like Devin Booker, he's done his fair share of losing. Chris Paul, he wants a ring so bad, so does KD. He wants to prove he can do it without Golden State. You know, then obviously you got to do whatever you can to make it happen, given the fact that Phoenix is on KD's short list of trade options. But like, they're stuck, man. They're almost like the Utah Jazz, where it's like that's kind of like the similar talent level where they have some really good pieces and they can definitely be like beyond the first round, but like, you know, asking them to go beyond the second round, that's tough.
Yeah, and you know, Kevin Durant, he's famed, Cage, as, you know, the most unstoppable scorer in the league. And I saw something that came out about, you know, a certain player who's the only player in the NBA to be in the top five in scoring the last 5 years. So since he was 23 years old. And that was Giannis. Uh-huh. And Giannis has actually averaged more points than KD the last 5 seasons. And so Giannis has entered this clip of elite scoring. but no one really seems to talk about it. You know, you see Andre Iguodala. I'm sorry, I'm just going to go there. Chump change, trying to refer to Giannis as Rasheed Wallace. He doesn't even deserve to be in the same breath as Giannis. If you take a look at Rasheed Wallace's stats, he never averaged 20 points a game. Cage never 10 rebounds. He's more similar to Brook Lopez.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like a Giannis comparison, but that's what the league's trying to do to this man. When he's averaging more points than Kevin Durant, you know, more rebounds, and he's beating him in every single opportunity head-to-head recently.
I mean, look, man, this is called Warriors Syndrome, right? Like, Draymond Green won another ring. He's been chirping nonstop since then. You know, like, Klay Thompson won a ring. Just keep an eye on his chirp over the next year. You know, and Andre Iguodala, like, the Warriors are up right now, and they're cocky, they're confident, like... It's just such an off-the-wall comparison. It's just such an insult. I mean, it's not really worth talking much about. But yeah, like, they're not even in the same category, you know. Iguodala, I think it was, like, he didn't even average double-digit points since Giannis was, like, back in the slums in Greece. You know, it's like, you don't really have much to speak on, man, you know. And, like, even KD is not disrespecting Giannis like that. You know, someone who got Iguodala two rings, right? It's like KD showers Giannis with praise and respect because real recognized real. He knows game. And I'm sure Iguodala knows game as well. But it's like, dude, what is up with the just backhanded Giannis slaps? It's like, man,
I think it's the Rise movie. But... You know, Rise is getting to his head, Bucks fans. If you haven't seen that movie yet, Rise, go check it out from Disney. That was something special. Wow.
It was a good movie. You know. It was a good movie. You know, they were very accurate. Like, they had Francis involved. They had some of Francis's music involved. You know, I really was moved by seeing Charles, the actor who played Charles, his portrayal. You know, Giannis and Thanasis are exciting to see portrayed in a movie. And it's like Disney.
How fascinating,
kind of let the story be pure, which is, like, appreciated by me at least.
How fascinating was it to learn more about Thanasis, you know, and how he was the one who naturally picked up basketball before Giannis did? And just talk about maybe Thanasis and what you think, you know, his upbringing has, you know, been and where his role with the Bucks is going, you know, forward. Like, how you see him continuing to be a part of Giannis's career going forward, because obviously the two are going to stick together, I believe.
Absolutely, man. I mean, like, Thanasis, just keep him around. He's good for the team, right? He's not a distraction. He's always encouraging. He's an unbelievable practice player. He's got athleticism. You know, he pushes Giannis. If for no other reason than to just push Giannis every day, like, that in itself is a reason to keep Thanasis. And, you know, like, I like Thanasis. He had an incredible block that helped us win the Brooklyn series, something that George Hill didn't really participate in this last postseason, or the last time he was on the Bucks in the postseason. It's like, you know, like, Thanasis, he can impact the game. He cares about winning, you know, and it's like, he's not going to let distractions prevent him from winning. He's going to go out there and hustle his you-know-what off, and I'm just a huge, huge fan
of him. Maybe throw it down on someone.
Exactly. He might throw a ferocious dunk down. You know, all in all, man, this team has everything they need, minus this secondary ball handler. I'm interested to see what happens. Any final thoughts?
My final thoughts are the Rise movie, Super Fire, Airplane Mode, Pat Connaughton deal, Super Fire. And I'm excited about this Bucks team because that's why the hate is coming out from Andre Iguodala. He knows that Milwaukee's sitting on the East, retooling, bringing their boys back. They've got all the weapons, and they've got a big three healthy. Another thing, I saw someone slight Chris Middleton acting like Drew is the... You know, the big duo with Giannis. Come on. You know, like, let's not forget about Chris Middleton, who's about to come back with, like, a vengeance this year. I'm excited about the Bucks. As always, this team's ready to win another championship, Cage. Thanks for having me on the show.
Bucks fans, thank you so much for tuning in. Give this show a subscribe, share it with a friend, you know, feel free to write us a review. We love just hearing what you guys and girls think. We're so thankful for this community, you know, 24,000 people following Ike Bucks on Twitter. We got like something like 700 plus 5-star reviews on the podcast. Just really thankful for each and every one of you Bucks fans, whether you're listening in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or throughout the country or throughout the world. You know, it's a great time and place and era to be a Bucks fan. So we're excited to just continue on this journey with you all, and we'll talk to you very soon. Till next time, we out.